This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
Real Moms of Bravo. Real Moms of Bravo.
Real Moms of Bravo.
Real Moms of Bravo.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, depending on when you're listening to this. We are so excited to be covering Summer House, The Valley, and Vanderpump Rules this week. Starting next week, we will be back to doing multiple episodes because New Jersey returns. But with three, we figured we'd just give you a little bit of a longer than usual episode. And what better way to start it off than talking about one of our favorite guys, Craigie, is in the episode this week, not in the Hamptons, but in the episode. What did you think of the interaction between him and Paige?
You know, I thought it was really honest from Craig. I think so oftentimes we see that type of dynamic in like where the male tends to hold more of that energy versus a female in this instance. Like when he said, oh, I don't even know if you like me or not. And she's like, ha ha, like I like to keep it that way. Like I think Paige has clearly has a sense of humor, clearly has a hard time committing to her future. I feel like Paige in that conversation is saying so much to like protect herself. I feel like she doesn't want to get vulnerable. Part of me wants to rewatch some of her interactions with Perry because I feel like she's so dead set on her independence, her like making her own choices. She doesn't want a man to tell her when to move. She wants to like decide and she's kind of wearing the pants in a way, but I still have faith in them. I am kind of sick of talking about it, as I'm sure they are.
I think they are too. I honestly feel like, so I think, you know, I think Craig just likes some reassurance every now and then. Like the picnic was like a nice little like romantic gesture from Paige showing that she cares, put some effort in. I think he's okay with her not saying like, I want to be married by the end of 2025. I want a baby by 2027. I want to be living in the bar. Like, I think he's okay with her not having it all mapped out, but he just likes some reassurance that she wants to be with him. Like we've seen it on Southern Charm too, where he's like, well, do you like me? Do you want to be with me? And so I agree. I kind of like that it's a different dynamic. He's more of an emotional, sensitive person and she's not. And I like that that's the, you know, her as the female and him as the male, that's kind of their roles. Yeah, I'm not worried about them either. I don't think they're getting married anytime soon, but I don't think they're breaking up anytime soon either. It seems like they're both comfortable in the relationship.
And oddly enough, if it didn't work out, that wouldn't surprise me either.
Yeah. I also think if they break up, though, they will time it where they do not have to have the breakup happening either during like either one of the shows. So pretty much if they're going to break up at this point, and I think they're both smart enough to realize this and like agree to this, they would not be breaking up until like September.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want that to happen. Love them together, but I just think we've been talking about the relationship and will they, won't they for so long that I just feel very like laissez-faire about it. So I'm like, if they make it down the aisle, great. If they don't, they don't. But I'm rooting for them. I think they're very cute and would have beautiful babies.
I would love to just see I think that even when they get married, they're not going to be committed to one city necessarily. They've kind of said that they'll commit to like a place once it's time to raise a kid, and it'll be interesting to see what they pick. All right, let's go to a relationship that we know doesn't work out. Carl and Lindsay. We see this kind of like this whole, the conversation he had with his parents, it kind of lingers and he has to keep talking about it. But in the beginning, when he tells Lindsay about it, he sort of like started to tell her stuff. And then doesn't all the way. He just said like, well, you know, they had some concerns, but I'm going to do what I want. I feel like that choice of words immediately made it seem like he was like going against his parents' wishes, which if you watch that conversation, he was kind of agreeing with them. Was like, yeah, maybe we shouldn't be getting married. Like, I'm kind of like, Carl, I think he's just having a hard time really vocalizing that he's not ready to get married.
I need Carl to have some balls. Like, he has no problem telling his parents, Amanda and Kyle, as we see later on in the episode. Like, say what you – just be honest with her. I don't get that. And if I were Lindsay watching back, even though, you know, we'll discuss their conversation at the end, of the episode, but I would be so hurt by the opportunity. There were so many opportunities where he's uncomfortable enough on camera to say all these different things, but we're not sure that he has shared that with her. I just found it weird. And then it was even weirder at her shower with Sharon. That whole interaction was giving like Michael Scott in The Office, because she kept looking at a lot of fourth wall was broken in this episode, but she kept looking at the camera when she was hugging Sharon and was like, what the fuck? I felt like the wheels were spinning in her head.
Well, then I kind of felt like there was a moment where like Sharon was just eating by herself, like the lunch, like Lindsay, clearly her body language was turned. She was kind of blocking Sharon off. And she kept saying, we're having a mommy daughter moment. Like, do you want in on it? It was sort of like, I just felt like the whole dynamics were really weird. If Carl wanted to tell Lindsay about this, I think he should have waited till after the shower, knowing his mom was going to be there. But, you know, obviously.
No, I agree. And I also feel like for Lindsay, and I don't know if this is Midwest or what you want to call it, I don't think confronting Sharon about
at the
like,
shower.
At the shower and just being like, hey, I heard you guys had a conversation. And she's like, oh, you know, like I'm just like a protective mom and whatever. I would never, ever, I would make my partner, in this instance, Kyle, would make have him have that conversation with his parents. Like, I would never interject in that, because as we know, in-laws are in-laws and they're you're stuck with them with forever and you don't need a grudge. So I just wouldn't do that. And I also thought the Lauren Workus comment was a little weird from Sharon.
That was the whole thing was bizarre. I think if Lindsay wanted to have the conversation with Sharon because it was bothering her, she should have asked if they could go like grab iced tea, or could she come back to the apartment afterwards, because she'd like to talk to her for a little bit about her conversation with Carl or whatever. I don't think it should have been taking place at the shower where there were like multiple people around. It was just a weird dynamic. Yeah, but then the Lauren Workus comment was so bizarre, because first of all, like Lauren Workus hasn't been on Summer House since like season 3. So I'm like, why are we even talking about Lauren Workus? It was just, I agree. Like, I don't know. She just felt uncomfortable and didn't know what to say and felt like Lindsay was like not wanting Sharon as a mother-in-law. The whole thing was, it was very strange.
And that coupled with Lindsay's abandonment issues, it's just a lot to unpack.
Well, and she shares that with the girls. I thought it was actually like really sweet when the girls were having the conversation in Paige's bathroom, and it was Paige, Amanda, and Lindsay that she was sharing that like she got, you know, we don't see Lindsay get emotional often. She gets agitated and gets activated, but we don't really see her get all that emotional. And she like kind of said, this is a triggering thing for me because it felt like Sharon was rejecting me. My own mother rejected me. And I felt like for her to say that, particularly to Amanda and Paige, that showed a lot of vulnerability for Lindsay. She's not typically very close with them. She doesn't let her guard down with them. And I think the fact that they were receptive to it, Amanda gave her a hug. And I love how Paige was like, I forgot what Lindsay said, but she said something like, she's just a concerned mom. But I love how Paige was like, yeah, but like, she's lucky to have you, like kind of giving that confidence back to Lindsay. It was a really sweet moment. But before we had that moment, we had West having a conversation with Jesse Solomon in the car, making it seem like he's not really sure where things are with he and Sierra. Doesn't think she's the one, clearly, because he said, if you met the one, would you stop running around? And Jesse was like, absolutely. I'm like, without a doubt. And then he made the mistake of telling the other women that he is not closed off to other girls and he's texting other girls. I don't know if that was the best move. I wouldn't be telling the girl I'm not sure about's friends that I'm talking to other girls.
I mean, I loved, you know, I've seen people meme this. It's like Paige shocked in Italian, like her face when Lindsay kind of delivered the information. I totally get it. A part of me, and I'm wondering if we're going to see this in the remaining episodes. I believe there's 5 episodes left. I do feel like if Paige and Amanda get where Wes is coming from, where they're like, they haven't had sex the entire summer. Yeah. Like, why would he, you know, completely close themselves off? A part of me is like, why are you, have you guys talked to Sierra about that? Like, have you at least said that to her and kind of hear her out? I'm curious, like, how they're going to relay that information and what's going to come through it from the remainder episodes. But also, and I've said this before to you guys, I would have never thought West would be such a commitment phobe. Like, maybe it's because I think of him as such a Midwestern boy, which he is. But I think so many people around me, most of them have settled down, are like dating, not commitment phobe, I guess is what I'm getting at. And not like serial daters. I know the dating energy in New York is completely different. The way, you know, marriage and lifestyle changes and whatever, life stages is completely different. But it's like hard for me to wrap my head around knowing like he grew up similarly to how we grew up. So it's just like weird to me.
Yeah. Well, some of it too, I think he's still like, you know, he had his heart broken. I think he's still kind of getting over that. And he hasn't been a serial dater. I think he's a serial flirter. I don't think he's like actually dating and committing. I think he's just entertaining lots of thoughts and people. And I mean, there's been demois blinds that he's been very flirty while out. I think that's part of his personality.
Oh, for sure. He's a flirt for sure.
I mean, I kind of have a personality like that too, where I'm friendly, I'm outgoing, and I'm also affectionate. So I think like all that combined can be taken as flirting when honestly you're just like having a conversation with people.
I like to say I like to hit on people. Like it's just like fun. Yeah. Like charm people. Like I get that energy of like just being overly friendly and like, but a lot of the times it's with like a joking manner.
Yeah. And I think sometimes knowing that we're married and not going to act on it too. Like I would go up to a really hot guy and be like, you are so hot. Like, how do we help you find, what girl do you think here is pretty? Let's help you find her. Like we kind of that like energy. But I also feel like too, Amanda and Paige and Lindsay were all saying like, it's clear Sierra likes him. Why doesn't she admit it? So I'm also kind of like, I hope they say to Sierra a little bit of like, you being guarded and not like wanting to admit, you know, like you'd be like, I do miss him. I can't believe I'm saying that. Or like, it's okay to like a guy. It's okay to tell a guy you like a guy. It's okay to say to a guy, I'd like for this to be something a little bit more serious. I'm not ready to sleep with you yet, but I would prefer it if you weren't seeing other women. Like, I just think Sierra keeps it kind of like this weekend casual thing, and Wes is going to react to it based off of kind of the vibe she's giving. So, I mean, in watching this, I'm kind of like, I see why this didn't turn into like, this is kind of a will they, won't they all summer long.
Yeah. And I also like, I mean, because we're older and married and have, you know, years of marriage under our belt, part of me is like, I'm so glad to not be in that life stage. But also I'm like, guys, it's not that deep. Like, just be honest with each other. Like, have the conversation. Like, I would, the swirl, like, I do not miss that of like, oh my God, am I going to say something? You're going to be mad. And like the fact that they're avoiding these types of topics with each other, or so it seems on the show, not envious of that.
So then it comes time for like, I feel like the most like kind of like awkward, if you get secondhand anxiety for people, like the last 15 minutes of this episode where it was hard, like I can't watch, I've said this before. I hate the movie Meet the Parents because I get such bad like secondhand embarrassment and like anxiety for people. Like I can't stand that movie. But this moment, I don't know. I'm like, first of all, it was very uncomfortable that Amanda's looking for her shoes and then she sits down. Obviously, she doesn't know that they're
Carl
having, like,
and Kyle are having like clearly an honest conversation about the New Jersey combo he had with his parents. And she's like, they're awkwardly quiet and she's good like, at reading cues.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to sit down.
I want to know what's going on. And Carl clearly like really opened up. It wasn't like, he was like, hey, Amanda, sorry. Like, I need Kyle's like input on something. You know, we'll be down in a minute. Like, he seemed very eager to open up to Amanda. I didn't love that he's now telling Kyle and Amanda everything and still hasn't told Lindsay. And he, like, they do reference, you know, the cameras. I thought it was a really cool way to break the fourth wall of like showing, which I always love when they do this because you forget how many people are there. But they showed like a corner and a side, and it's like there's five people in this room with like cameras, mics, like, and he was kind of saying, I have to tell Lindsay the full version of the conversation in New Jersey because it's going to air. And I do think that's like a weird spot to be in. And I appreciated Amanda sharing, like, I didn't love the fact that I had to tell my parents Kyle cheated on me. But if I didn't, they were going to see it on TV. Like, it is, it's really,
it would be very strange. It would be a weird world to come live in. But I also feel like I'm not sure he would have done it if Amanda and Kyle weren't like kind of encouraging him.
Yeah, like she deserves to know the truth. And you could tell it was eating away at him too. So I was just like, dude, I feel like you'd want to get this off your chest. And then I appreciated and sympathized with Lindsay in that moment when he's like, we need to have a conversation later about like what I talked to my parents about. And she's like, well, we've already talked about it. Like, what else do I not know? And then he's like, well, there's just like a little bit more to it. And she's like, okay, well, can we just talk about it now? Because I'm not going to be able to, like, I'm going to be sitting here like spiraling. And so then he tells her a little bit more of like the truth, basically just saying like, you know, my stepdad said he wouldn't marry me. They think we're rushing into it, but I feel like he was like sort of fumbling on his words a bit in that moment too. And I just feel like it's like you said, he needs the balls to say, based on the arguments we're having and the way I'm feeling, I don't think we should be getting married right now. Like, it just feels like he can't like get this out. And I don't blame him. No one's disagreeing with you, but like, Carl, it's like, you keep struggling to say how you're feeling.
I also struggle with, and this is like the juxtaposition of Carl's struggle to be honest with Lindsay, but also willingness to do it with a lot of people on camera, like different people that, but not her. But also I'm like, you could have done the courtesy of like telling her the truth off camera. Like, I don't know. It's just very, his way about what he's willing to say in film is very interesting to me. But also it's like, just so like, if I were Lindsay, I'd be like, wow, like this is so fucking fake. You came to the shower, you showed up with flowers, and literally 2 weeks later you call off the wedding and cameras were there again. Like, it would be very strange. Like, again, we tend to be more team hubs, as you guys know. However, I am glad they didn't get married. I think there's a lot of red flags.
She dodged a bullet. He did too. Like, same. It would have been terrible.
It would have been terrible. However, I don't know. It's very weird, honestly. I don't know if it's just the pressures of TV and like wanting to be, as Jax Taylor says, a brand together, and that like gets into your head where you're not like thinking clearly. But I just feel like Carl's a little bit of a snake.
I know Lindsay's been saying this. Like, I don't disagree. I think he kind of was trying to villainize her and make her look bad any way he could, knowing ultimately he was not going. I think he knew at the beginning of the summer, with the based off of the arguments that they were having, that he was not going to end up marrying her when he planned to in November. So wild. We still have a few more episodes left, and they are filming the reunion as we speak. What's kind of crazy is Vanessa and I were texting about the seating chart, and in my head I was like, well, it has to be Carl and Lindsay next to Andy. And then I said, I know that Kyle will be next to Carl, then Amanda, even though we were like, kind of feel like Amanda had more of a storyline, but Kyle has like too much of a frail male ego to let her be closer. Like, we pretty much predicted the entire seating chart.
You did. I'm giving you credit. I didn't predict it. You predicted it. And if you guys notice from the seating chart, Wes and Sierra are not sitting next to each other, which if you guys are smart, that kind of tells you they're not together. I'm still Delulu and think like, I don't know. Given how weird they couldn't just have sex with each other, I think it could be weird lingering on. But I know there's a lot of feelings on Danielle, but I don't feel like she deserved last seat. I feel like Jesse and Wes could have swapped with Gabby and Danielle out of like seniority,
think it's weird though that Sierra's second seat, and like, because Sierra's most of her storyline was with West, but Kyle would lose his goddamn mind if a newbie had a better seat than him. Could you imagine?
I know, but also like, okay, let me ask you this before we move on. But how do you feel about the fact that Carl has Kyle next to him? So like an ally, obviously it's going to be very difficult, but Lindsay has Sierra, which I'm sure Sierra and her are on good terms, but she doesn't have like Gabby or Danielle or someone like to kind of like lean on.
I honestly think I feel like, because Gabby and Danielle, like, Gabby isn't getting the screen time she deserves. We've talked about this. I'm like, I want more Gabby on Summer House. I kind of knew she'd be last seat. I think it would have maybe made more sense to have Paige next to Lindsay, because it did seem like she was leaning on Paige a little bit more. But it also feels like, I mean, we haven't seen the final episode where like all the girls kind of come together for Lindsay. So maybe there's something that happens there with Sierra and Lindsay that we just haven't seen yet. Sierra did go to the shower. I think it would have been nice. We give Carl Kyle and then we don't give Lindsay anybody. She's a very strong person. Not that she needs it, but I think it would have been
helpful. No, but I think it would have just been nice in terms of like, I think very often, and a lot of people don't like Lindsay. I think we're in the minority of people who do really, who like her or can appreciate her. But I think she has this, comes off so strong, a bit abrasive. Mm-hmm. Some people may consider aggressive, loud, but there is that vulnerability there. And like, I feel like the mom in me, and knowing her abandonment issues, like, I like want to give her a hug. You know,
yeah, she's gonna need, I was just gonna say, she's gonna need a hug. I mean, I think they'll be at breaks and stuff, but I really hope Sierra and Paige though kind of like pick up on that and maybe like lean into like not ganging up on Lindsay. I do worry that it could be a little bit of a gang up with Carl and Kyle right there, like focused on Lindsay, but we shall see. So before we jump into the valley, we're gonna take a little ad break. I want to talk to you guys about Quince. You know that we love their products. We've talked to you about their cashmere sweaters. And I mean, cashmere is amazing. And, you know, you can wear it mostly year round. But if you live in an area where it gets very hot and humid, you are not looking for a sweater right now. You are looking for something that's going to feel light and airy and luxurious without breaking the bank. Because, honey, in this economy, ain't nobody spending lots of money on their summer clothes. And that is why I love Quince. I bought the linen tank top. It's perfect, lightweight, it's sleeveless. So, you know, for the summers, it's going to be not too heavy, but I love the coloring of it. It's like a really like soft muted pink. But the best part about it is it was like $30, I believe. Like, they do such a good job of sourcing their pieces and making you look just effortlessly chic year round. On average, their items are priced about 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And by partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman, passing the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, which I love. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/realmoms for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/realmoms to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/realmoms.
If you're anything like us, I enjoy a nice cold beverage when winding down. Sometimes I enjoy a glass of wine, but there's other times where I prefer to have something that is NA and will not give me a headache or hangover the next day. And that I'm going to tell you guys about hop water. So this is a non-alcoholic sparkling hop water. It has a lot of amazing flavors. To be honest, when I first looked at it, I was like, oh my gosh, is this going to be too hoppy, too beer flavor? I'm a beer drinker. I love my lemony, orangey flavored beers. So this really kind of gives you that taste without feeling that heaviness. My personal favorite is the ruby red grapefruit. It's zesty and tart and perfect for summer. My husband and I were enjoying it one day while our girls were riding their scooters and we're sitting outside, and it was very refreshing. And since there's no alcohol, calories, or sugar, I don't have to worry about going back and getting another one. It's guilt-free. Hop water is purposely crafted without calories, carbs, or sugar. It tastes great. And again, I'm a beer drinker, so I enjoy the hoppy flavor. Trust us, hop water is a perfect beverage to enjoy all year long. We know you'll love it too. For a limited time, our listeners get 20% off your first purchase. Plus, get free shipping when you order 24 cans or more. So order now on an exclusive URL to get this offer. hopwater.com/realmoms. That's hopwter.com/realmoms. Don't wait. Go to hopwater.com/realmoms. Okay, another thing that I'm really excited to talk to you guys about. So our kids grow fast. They grow quality of clothing. I feel like I'm constantly buying new clothes, and I have two girls, so I tend to like invest a bit more in certain pieces knowing that it's going to be passed down. But one brand that I truly, truly love is Posh Peanut. They make thoughtfully crafted, beautiful, and stylish clothing for kids and families designed in-house, from beautiful florals to your favorite brands such as Hot Wheels, Disney, Hello Kitty, and Barbie. Their pieces are made with ridiculously soft viscose from bamboo that stays soft even after you wash them over and over again. I've washed my pairs a couple of times. They're still just as soft. And their high-quality fabric is 4 times stretchier than cotton, so it grows with your child. It's also breathable, chemical-free, which means they're delicate on your baby's sensitive skin. Posh Peanut is made for infants and kids, but they also have sizing for moms and dads if you want the whole family to match. And if you're not a parent, consider this a perfect gift for any little one. And Posh Peanut is loved by over 1 million parents, also adored by all your favorite celebrities and influencers. You know, we can't say names, but you know who, wink, wink. Right now, Posh Peanut is offering our listeners 20% off your first order with promo code REALMOMS. Go to poshpeanut.com/realmoms and use promo code REALMOMS for 20% off your first order. That's poshpeanut.com, promo code REALMOMS.
Okay, let's talk the valley. I just like this show is just like constantly delivering. I mean, we pick up from this like dinner party craziness, and it's kind of like Jesse and Michelle sort of talking about it, but then also like interviews, like a lot of the confessionals I think are really telling. I feel like Jesse basically knows Michelle is, if she's not sleeping around, she's creeping around. Like, I think he knows that she's flirting. She's kind of like breaking some of the, like, I would say, like, I don't want to say universal rules, but like just the kind of the boundaries that they had probably set for their marriage. I think he knows that she's kind of breaking those and stepping out of them. But it feels like he's not ready to say, like, I know that you are being inappropriate with these men. Everyone's saying you're doing this, like where there's smoke, there's fire. So instead it's like, let's just blame crazy Kristen.
I hate the deflection, but also I saw this on Twitter. Someone said, shout out to T Waters. It says, realizing your wife is cheating through a drop in boomerang content is peak elder millennial. I couldn't agree more. The fact that he brought up in his confessional, he's like, she'd always get after me for having my phone flipped over. Now I notice her phone is flipped over when she's at girls' nights. There's no cheersing the boomerang. Shout out to you, Tina. We know you love a boomerang. Cheers. The queen of it might be the CEO of the boomerang cheer, but it just, that like made me laugh because she's so clearly uncomfortable. She clearly hates this man. A part of me is like, at what point will you guys just like, I'm waiting for them to be like, we are separating. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. I did love that. Mom, like I was going to say, I don't know to like when, like what is the breaking point? Is it going to be, I mean, is it after they ref? I hope we see. This sounds terrible, but like we're so invested at this point. I would like to see them like discuss the separation while filming, but we're not getting a reunion now.
I know we're not getting a reunion apparently because this was revealed on Kristen Doty's podcast, but apparently we're not getting a reunion because they want to see them dish it out for the next season. So I think cameras will pick up sooner, which on one hand I get, but this is also fresh and they have such a strong season. Like,
Give us the reunion.
So I'm hoping that they'll change their mind and then that we'll continue to see the fallout from that. But Michelle, girl, your lying is not that good. We can all see it from a mile away. I mean, I know we all know they're separated, but to me, where there's smoke, there's fire. Let's not just blame it on crazy Kristen.
I do love, though, that like her not posting is what triggered him. Because I do feel like I go kind of like hot and cold, like though, like there's moments, honestly, like I feel like majority of the time when I'm like running out the door for like a girl's dinner, I'll like say to Kevin, like, my phone is at like 23%. I'm going to charge it on the way there. There's a good chance it dies while I'm at dinner. So if you need me, text, you know, I'll like name my friends I'm there with. But every now and then, like, I love to like, you know, post like where we're at or something. So like, I do feel like that's just something us elder millennials do.
Oh yeah. I would know immediately. He's like, that girl's always on her phone. Yeah. He would be like, why is she not posting?
Yeah.
Where is the shot?
I will say I too sometimes feel a little bit like a Janet where I haven't given up my full-time job, but if I were to give up my full-time jobs, I would never give up gossiping. I love the comment of like, yeah, when we got pregnant, Janet quit her job. I didn't realize she was going to be getting a full-time job doing something else. Like, I just thought I loved
Jason,
that moment.
I love Jason. I think he's just so funny. And Janet is messy boots. You know, we see this conversation. Janet and Jason help out Brittany and Jax while they go on a date before they have like, or this was before they went on their date night. They're over at their house and they're talking about the whole Kristen of it all and this rumor. And, you know, Jax is very much in its confessional. He's like, I forgot how to do this. I need to make other people do my dirty work and then drop the bombshell. But I'm like, that is what Janet is doing. She is being messy in terms of like,
she's out mastering you, Jax.
Yes. Trying to figure out like, what was it? What was it said? Like, why are you saying all this to other people? And it's just very funny to me. And I feel like Jason forgets this is a reality TV show because he's like, but why are you saying this? Why are you telling Jasmine about this?
He does forget he's on a show. And I think that's why I love him. Cause he's like, wait, why are we all even concerning about this? Like, I thought we were just having dinner tonight and chat, like, you know, just catching up like old chums. I did love then it turns to him babysitting. But before we get to that, Nia has dinner with Jesse and Michelle and Nia and Danny. And she has like a really, really sweet heart to heart with Michelle. I haven't necessarily loved Michelle on the show. I think she's sort of like, I appreciate what she brings. But she isn't one that's like jumping out to me as like a favorite or one I'm relating to. But I love the moment where she's like, she was holding Nia's hand. She was really listening. The guys are just, you know, chatting about who knows what. She's tearing up because I think she can, whether she's gone through it or not, is empathizing. And I don't know. I thought it was like a really nice moment. I like how I thought she supported Nia perfectly and was like,
oh, I love like, when women can kind of come together. And like Nia is so badly, and I'm sure she's has found the resources and support that she needs now, but through the camera, I so badly want to give her a hug just because we all know someone who's been there or we've been there ourselves. I see so much of myself and how she's feeling. And I think she's going to help so many people by just being so honest about like even avoiding the word depression or just being very candid and saying things a lot of us will say in our head, but not be brave enough to articulate it. So I love her.
Yeah. It was a sweet moment, I thought. And I really thought Michelle handled, I commend Nia for having the bravery and courage to talk about this so openly. And I thought Michelle really handled it like a good supportive friend. But then we get to Jason and Janet are going to babysit Jax overnight so that Brittany babysit Jax too. He is a man child, but no, they're not babysitting him. They're babysitting Cruz. I always think it's funny just like, people expecting their first when they ask parents, like kind of in the thick of toddlerhood, or for me, like having three, when there's somebody expecting their first and they'll ask me stuff, I'm kind of like, ooh, like how honest am I supposed to be here? Because there's some things it's good not to know. And there's some things it's good to know. But I think it's like hilarious where they're like, what time is it? Like, what? It's only been 10 minutes. Like, you know, time goes very fast and very slow with a child. But I thought that was cute. I did not love the interactions we were getting between Jax and Brittany. I hated how he set this up by being like, I'm planning this romantic, like, date night, night away, so that hopefully it buys me some time. Like, what does that mean? Like, buys me some time from separating? I don't know. I just thought it was really weird. Buys me some time. Like, are you trying to, like, get your finances in order to screw over? It was just a very odd comment to make, like, hopefully this gets me some brownie points. Hopefully this brings us closer together. Hopefully we can rekindle. Like so many other phrases or words I would have chosen besides hopefully this buys me some time.
It was a weird choice of words. And I feel like this word's going to be overused in the Bravosphere, but I do genuinely feel like Brittany was slightly blindsided in terms of their plans to expand their family. So they had that conversation. We saw the flashback. She's like, oh, we said we're going to try next month. And I guarantee, to me, Jax is giving with Brittany, like he says, yes, like you said, buying himself time to appease her, but doesn't actually mean it and want to follow through.
That he said this on their podcast too, just to jump in. So I listened to their podcast. I will listen to it very randomly. And this was like a long time ago, but they said, this is before they announced their separation, on their podcast in like July, they said they were going to start trying in August.
Which is wild. I do agree. And not that I agree with Jax on a lot of things, but I don't feel like you should try to expand your family when there's issues in your marriage. Like, that's not a healthy thing to do. I think Brittany's probably more thinking of age gap and like her age and not thinking.
Well, if it doesn't happen right away, like we don't know how long it took for them with maybe 6 months. I don't know. Yeah.
But I do think it's unfair for Jax to be like, we're not going to give Cruz the attention. And like, I do feel like Brittany seems like an amazing mom and will do everything. And I don't like how he kind of uses as if another child is going to take away their attention. A part of me is like, just say what you have to say. Just say, I don't want to try right now. It's just very interesting watching them. And it makes me sad, to be honest. Not that I was ever like shipping Jax and Brittany really hard, but I think when you see any marriage go through that type of struggle and then now see them not working out, it's sad. And guys, we had boots on the ground information from the White House correspondence dinner. And it sounds like Jax is telling everybody that he did cheat on her, which is no shocker to anyone listening, I'm sure. But it does like break my heart for Brittany a little bit. Yeah, like I go on both ways where it's like, yeah, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. On one hand, it's like, Brittany, yeah, what do you think? But also I feel bad for her.
I feel really bad for her. I also like hated, he was like so condescending and I'm glad she called him out for it. He's like, cause he's like, well, it'd be so much, another kid would be so much work and I'm overwhelmed with everything. And she's like, with what? You don't do anything. And I like kind of appreciate her saying that. It doesn't seem like he does that much with Cruz. I don't think he's managing the house. I think she's cleaning it. She's cooking. She's the one doing all the childcare and he can't get like Jax's bar off the ground. Like, I mean, it's kind of like, okay, like I get you're overwhelmed, but like, I'm carrying a brunt of the weight over here and I'm like, I'm needing you to pick up something. And then he goes, our house, do you think it just came out, poof, came out of nowhere? And I love how she goes, I think we worked very hard. Both of us worked very hard for that house. And I don't like the way you're saying this. Good for her. I mean, if Brittany was out earning him one time, he has no.
She should have said that.
Yeah.
She like, should have said, I mean, she doesn't have, I don't know that she has the balls in that way to say it, but she wanted to stick it to him. She could have been like, hey, remember that time when financially I was carrying the family?
Yeah.
Let us not forget, it could switch real quick. And opening a restaurant, I would imagine, I'm not well versed, so please someone feel free to check me, but I would imagine it takes some time before you're profitable. I'm sure initially you're hitting your margins. Yeah. So I don't know.
Also, like, he's doing more of a bar. I just remember a friend of mine told me that when he went to college, his uncle said to him, because he's going into business, and he's like, I don't know, I'd like to, like, kind of own my own business one day. And his uncle said to him, whatever you do, do not go into college, take these business classes, and think you're going to open a bar and be rich. Because he's like, every person, he's like, I don't know what it is. Anyone who wants to kind of have their own business, they're like, oh, I'll have a restaurant, I'll have a bar. And he's like, it is a grinding business. You have to work really hard. And most of the people aren't super wealthy because like, kind of like, it's just not like this, like instant, like,
it's not a cash grab. Like, yeah, it's not, I feel like it's an industry where people genuinely love, as Craig says, food and bev.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Jax is DeLulu. He's crazy. Should we talk about VPR?
We'll say yes. Let's get to VPR. We finally got to meet Daniel and see him. What did you think about Lisa kind of being, I feel like, inserting herself in with Katie and Ariana where it really wasn't her place to do so. Almost like trying to defend Penny and be like, you guys should like get Penny back. I don't know. I thought it was kind of weird. I'm like, Lisa, they're not asking you for advice right now.
No, she's giving advice because she's an EP on the show, unsolicited. It was not needed. I mean, thankfully, I was worried when we watched this that something about her would never open, but we finally got a date that it's May 22nd. So coming up soon, that is actually going to open, but I don't think it's Lisa's place to tell them how to run their business if they're not asking her for her advice and she's not investing in the property.
Yeah, I 100% agree. All right, let's jump into kind of like the meat of it. They're on their way to San Francisco because Sheena is going to be performing for what's the jeweler's name?
Kyle Chan's
opening. And so they're all going as a group and Ariana brings Daniel. I think this is the first time we've really seen him, like him on screen, not just like a FaceTime or like video clips of them. It's truly him. They're like to dinner, going out to dinner, having a good time together. And then he's going on the trip. I like how he made the smart move of like, I'm not going to do all the group stuff. Like,
yeah, I think a lot more of it has to do with the fact that he doesn't want to be on camera. Like you can always tell when someone doesn't want to be on camera. Like he has, I feel like his giveaway is like his smile where he's like, I know what you're trying to do here. You're trying to catch me in my words, Lala. Yeah. But I'm just, you know, going to tie up my man bun and do me.
When he took his hair down, I'm usually not a long hair. Like for me, that's not like a turn on. Him hair down, I was like, damn. Like
I did not feel hot. But also I was, no, I think for me, I was processing how long his hair actually is. Like I was not expecting that. I thought it was like, you know, shoulder length. I guess it would, anyways, that's a whole nother show. But I did enjoy seeing him. He seems to be really supportive of Ariana. I think he also, when she asked him, she's like, you know, don't be surprised if he tries to say hi to you. And he's like, I don't have anything to say. And I do think Sandoval for once had some like self-awareness to not even go there or do that.
Yeah.
So at least he was playing that right. But let's talk about Sheena and Sandoval.
What was your take initially? So this is the beginning of the episode when they're at the jewelry store and they happen to be there and he's managing the event.
He happens to be there. I mean, this was so staged. Like, this was definitely a like, Sheena, you're filming with Sandoval at this time, but act as if you didn't expect to see him there. Sheena so desperately wants Ariana to say it's okay for her to be friends with Tom. I don't think Ariana has to say that. But I also think if it means that much to her to have her friendship with Tom again, then say that to Ariana. Like, I don't try to turn this into Ariana's trying to control things. Ariana's allowed to be like, hey, I can't stand him. There's not a world in which it works where you're going to be able to be close with both of us, because if I know you're hanging out with him and you're close with him and you like him and you trust him and he's like in your inner circle, then I can't be like, that just isn't going to work out. It's kind of like when people get divorced. It's hard to stay friends with both people. But if Sheena wants it's Tom Sandoval, that's who she's choosing, then I think she needs to man up and say it to Ariana. Just say like,
I agree, versus which we saw Brock later on. Yeah. Getting ready to go on the boat and like talking to Ariana about how she needs to like forgive, or again, trying to like force Ariana into something she's clearly not ready to. And Ariana clapped back like no other. I was so proud of her in that moment where she was basically like, I'm not going to give the person who traumatized me time of day. And why are we so upset or uncomfortable with women getting mad? Yeah, she's rage.
Like, we love male rage. We have no problem with that. We have a huge problem with female rage. I'm good.
And I felt like Bravo. Brock was like, whoop! He's like realized he got checked. Yeah. He's like, but also I don't know why like production or why he decided to like volunteer as tribute as a person trying to like, I think he's thinking in his mind to smooth things over with them. But also I'm like, dude, last person.
Give me camera time. I think he's like, how can I secure myself as like a main figure on this show? But yeah, I'm like, why is everyone trying to tell Ariana how she should feel and what forgiveness should look like for her? I think she's doing just fine. I think she's set her boundaries and has decided that he wronged me in a way I will never forgive him. I don't want him in my life. I'm trying to get him out of I just feel like it's like, why is everyone saying like, oh no, you need to like let him back in and be okay hanging out with him, because that shows you're the bigger person. She's already shown she's the bigger person.
Exactly. And like Tom isn't begging for it. Like, so no. I don't know. It's just very strange. I know we're filming a show, but again, it's very strange. I want to get your take on Lala. So Lala has a lot of like, in her opinion, like red flags about Dan. And personally, part of me feels like, Lala, if you're that worried, why don't you pull Ariana aside? I know we are filming a reality TV show, but if you're so weary of Dan, like, don't say it in your confessional. Say it to her, because you do film a reality show and you know she's going to see that. Like, I don't know.
I know, like, this is going to come up at the reunion. And Lala's always wanted to be like, I am not afraid of anybody. I'll say anything to anyone's face. And like, kind of has this like, you know, alpha female vibe. I feel like it would have been like, I would have appreciated it more. I think it would have been really good TV if she would have had that conversation with her. And if you are close with Ariana, which you know, kind of are claiming to, you were, you know, to be early in the season, then why not voice that? Why not say, hey, it seems like you're really happy and I'm glad you're happy, but like, just remember, like, you're coming out of a 10-year relationship and like you quickly maybe and their mind found someone. I just think it's like, I think Lala and Sheena are just figuring out that Ariana's probably done. Staying in her camp and like on Ariana's side does not bode well for them for future opportunities. I mean, we saw on Watch What Happens Live, Ariana's like, I thought we were all the Spice Girls. And it was like, girl power, all five of us together. And then I'm watching it back and I'm like, oh, that's not what it was. It's kind of crazy that the only person who's being consistent with like being Ariana's friend and being like kind of like just showing consistency with how she feels and how she talks to people and saying what she thinks is Katie.
It's wild. It's wild to me too, because a lot of the reasonings for Ariana and like Sheena and Lala getting upset with her, I don't think they have that many legs aside from, oh my gosh, she's still mad at her ex of 10 years who had a long time affair. And, you know, I don't get that. If they were pushing more the housing aspect, which I feel like we're going to get at the reunion.
It is weird. Yeah.
That part, I think if you're going to fall on that more versus other things. But I don't know. But then we get Sheena and Tom having this lot like
moment. They're friends. They're back.
They are back. So next week is VPR's finale, and then we'll have the reunion. And then for the first time in 10 seasons or however, I'm sure I butchered that number, but they are not filming this summer. They are taking a little break. They're giving the cast, production's giving the cast a break to have a little bit of breather since they jumped into filming so quickly after Scandoval. But I think we all know they're doing it for Ariana and Love Island. You and I are still not convinced she's coming back, but I don't know.
But now I'm wondering if they're giving her just a deal she can't turn down, because if they're pausing filming and production, I'm like, shoot. I mean, if they're going to let her do this and they're going to wait, I think maybe she does come back. But who knows? Like, maybe it's just they're going to figure out a different VPR.
Money talks, and I do feel like since Scandoval, Ariana has been candid in terms of like taking every opportunity that comes her way. I think she has that foresight that this isn't forever and I'm not going to be this hot ticket item, so I'm going to profit where I can. So like you said, if they give her an offer she can't refuse, she could be back. But I kind of would like her to take a break, to be honest.
I just think the show isn't doing any positive for her. Like, it's not bringing her much. I love seeing her on it, but I just feel like she's better off without it. I think she is finding that her only true friend out of this entire, you know, she's been on the show, what, for 7 seasons, is Katie. And everyone else is just kind of in it for themselves and, you know, and honestly jealous of her. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I could see it really actually like teeing up some good drama though, because Lala and Sheena are probably going to be pissed that they're pausing so that Ariana can do Love Island. Like, it's like, oh, now we do everything on her time.
Yeah, that's going to happen. We're not going to see anything with Lala's pregnancy. She will likely have the baby by that point. So it's just very interesting, all of it.
It is. All right. Well, that wraps up this week. It is time for our shout outs. Who are you giving your shout out to?
I'm going to give my shout out to teachers. We know Teacher Appreciation Week is quickly approaching and you guys do so much. And I also feel like you're not giving enough flowers for what you do. So I just want to give extra love to teachers.
Well, I was going to do that. I thought you might pick it. So I'm going to pivot. I was talking about Keon Coleman. I was sharing him on our Instagram. He is the Buffalo Bills new draft pick. Also, people were like, what do you mean you love the Bills Mafia? I thought you guys were Chiefs fans. I am very much still a Chiefs fan. I feel like Bills Mafia has been really nice to us regarding every time we play the Bills. And like, to be honest, we've been beating the Bills in the playoffs. And I feel like that is such a like powerful fan group. And I like really respect the way they love the Buffalo Bills, just like we love the Kansas City Chiefs. So I like seeing them get good players. But anyway, I am obsessed with Keon Coleman. He was doing an interview. He talked about getting his coat from Macy's. He was eating the snacks with like the media. They took him into like the cryotherapy room. And he was like, oh my God, who would do that? Like voluntarily. He was staying at like this really nice hotel. And he was like trying to find the indoor pool to get a workout in. And he's like, they had a skating rink. What am I going to do with a skating rink in a hotel? Like, it's just really neat to see when like instant like fame and money doesn't change someone. And he just felt so like relatable and real in those moments. Like, he's like, you got to buy your clothes 2 seasons ahead. You're not going to go for the Thanksgiving Day sales. Everyone's shopping on Thanksgiving. So anyway, I want to give my shout out to Keon Coleman. I'm excited to see what he does and his first professional season. This is not our first season of podcasting. We've been doing this for over 5 years, but we still need your love and support. So if you haven't done so already, please subscribe, hit 5 stars. If you've got like 30 seconds, leave us a written review and make it a great day or don't. The choice is yours.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.